Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Sam Reese is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sam's been in the show, but it's been a long time. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where how we lost track of each other, but Sam is the CEO and the president of a company called Miller Hyman, and they're an organization that helps companies like yours and mine all around the world put their best foot forward in the marketplace by helping them get a more efficient performance, more effective performance out of their sales force. And he's here to talk to us about what you and I have to look forward to in the marketplace as we move forward into this decade. Sam Reese, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great having a time to get some time with you here. It was great listening to you, and I haven't talked to you about 8 years.
I know. We've missed you. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere. We're traveling all over the world right now. Our business is doing really well.
Well, I know that you've got your finger on the pulse of the marketplace out there, especially with regard to sales organizations. You know, I've been around a long time, too. You and I both have similar backgrounds. I was with Xerox in the 70s and early 80s. You were there in the 80s. We've seen a lot of changes in the marketplace with regard to how companies take their products to market with their sales force. And the next decade is going to be more different than any other decade in my career. What do you think?
I completely agree. And specifically, as you talk about the sales organization, I think what I'm seeing is companies all over the world realizing that focusing on getting closer to their customers is just as strategic and as important as new products and marketing and pricing. You know, CEOs used to spend all their time on those things. Now they're starting to realize customer relationships and sales effectiveness can really move the needle for them.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, let's face it, a great product is your threshold. A competitive price is your threshold. Innovation is your threshold. Being able to deliver customer, even customer service, is table stakes stuff. Today, the deals are made through the relationship, through the experience, isn't it?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, sometimes people use relationship as a green word that, you know, sounds generic. But, I mean, but it really is like understanding what the client is truly trying to accomplish. And that's what it's all about. Like you said, it's not about your product or your pricing, your customer service. It's about their challenge and helping them meet that.
So talk to us about how you're recommending that to your clients around the world.
You bet. For us, you know, we spend a lot of time with clients of all sizes, from really small businesses to some of the biggest in the world. And really what we really do is, through training and consulting and some of our research capabilities, we help them install a common framework, you know, process, so that you can help companies retain and grow customers by providing a real consistent way to gather information about the customer and then prioritize activities. That's what it's all about. It's about creating action rather than sitting around in smoky boardrooms and talking about what you could do.
So you try to help the sales force be armed with as much information about the customer as possible.
You got it. And it's all about focusing on their concepts, you know, with what I call their concept, which is about what is the client truly trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid.
Mm-hmm. Where's their pain and what do they want?
Exactly. What's their pain? What do they want? And how is your solution going to tie to that? I think before, you know, the recession, I think before it really got tough out there, people could just talk about their products and services and then everybody could connect it to their problems. Now clients expect you to specifically understand how your solutions are going to help them solve their problem. You got to connect the dots where before you could just kind of show up and throw up.
It's not their job to wake up in the morning and come up with a solution from your business. You've got to be doing that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of salespeople understand what you just said there, though. They think it's the customer. You know, they talk about their product and service, and the customer has to figure out how to reconcile it.
Right.
It doesn't work.
You know, well, that takes more work. It's harder work to do what I just said.
It's a lot harder, and it takes a lot more acumen. You got to be a lot smarter and really be, you know, what I say right now is you just got to really be curious if you want to help customers. You got to understand the problem.
That's one of the best. If I were hiring salespeople today, I would be looking for somebody that had a high curiosity quotient. I just think that's one of the best things that a salesperson can have.
I completely agree. People ask me, they say, if there's one thing that differentiates top salespeople from the others, what is it? That's what I say. It really is curiosity. You know, not manipulative questioning.
Right.
Trying to get the answer you want, but like really trying to understand the situation.
When I was carrying a kit bag around for companies that I worked for decades ago, I loved it when the customer said, "Would you like to see a tour of my plant?"
Yeah.
Or I would say, "Would you got anybody you can take me around and show me what you guys make here, how you make it?" And they'd always give you a tour. I love that.
But you know what's different now? Not different, because that still is exactly what you should be doing. What I see a lot of, Jim, that just doesn't work is companies are so impatient because they're behind on their plans. So they're trying to come up with these manipulative short-term ways to drive revenue that, you know, is focused on trying to get the customer to do things faster than they're ready to.
But see, that's a loser, Sam, because customers aren't going to allow that in the next decade. Customers are not going to put up with that.
Yeah, they have one simple mechanism for defense, and that mechanism is the word no.
Yeah.
They just say, no, I don't want to do it, and the salesperson leaves. If they would help the customer buy the way that they want to buy rather than trying to manipulate it, you got to facilitate the buying process.
Right. Absolutely. Are you seeing that as a problem out there for companies? Their salespeople are not doing what you just said?
Absolutely. I see it everywhere. I think it's an epidemic right now. And a lot of it...
Large companies and small companies?
Absolutely. And a lot of it caused by the financial pressures and specifically the financial leaders in the company.
Yeah. How much of this do you think is what you're seeing is because of the quarterly demands of analysts to major corporations and that filtering down? How much do you see of that?
In the big companies, I would say it's a huge factor.
Is it epidemic there?
Yep, absolutely.
I think you're right.
Companies, no question.
I think you're right. Companies are going to have to learn that they can't serve customers in the future and make decisions that serve customers in the future if there's a fealty to the 90-day reporting. What do you think about that?
I agree. What you'd get a kick out of, Jim, is a lot of customers have figured this out. So, in effect, these companies have trained them to buy. So they don't buy till the end of the quarter when they...
Right. That's when they got the most leverage, absolutely. Never buy a car at the first of the month. Always wait to the end of the month to buy a car. Hold on to that thought, Sam. Sam Reese is our guest. He's the CEO of Miller Heiman. He and I will be right back. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to take the poll question right there on the homepage. You can got a brand new question up there. You can click on your answer, your response, and submit it, and you'll see immediately where you stack around with everybody else, how your answer fits with how other people have voted. Also, don't forget the archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members that are there, thousands of all of those. The knowledge base is there, et cetera, et cetera. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. A lot of things that will help you with your small business. Sam Reese is our guest. He is the CEO of Miller Heiman, which is an outstanding organization helping companies around the world improve their sales processes. Sam, tell us how we can find you guys online. What you guys do?
Great. www.millerheiman.com, MillerHeiman. And, it'd be great for anybody to jump on our site. There's all sorts of great information and research that's going on out there that everybody's welcome to. And for us, it's all about helping companies improve the effectiveness and efficiency of their sales force by putting a common framework and language in place so everybody can have a consistent way they approach customers.
When you and I were in sales all those years ago, Sam, we could cold call people. We could knock on a door and they would let us in. We had customers and we'd go by and there was still a lot of product of the month stuff back in those days. And there was still some manipulation. You could still you know, customers. And it wasn't that you were doing anything wrong. It was the way the game was played. But manipulation is completely a relic in the marketplace right now. The product of the month is a loser strategy. And if you're not solving problems, if you're not healing pain, if you're not finding out what customers need, what customers want, not what they need, but what they want, if you're not going that far, you know, Sam, it's easy to find out what they need because you can look at their business and see what they need. They are in this business, therefore they need these products. But if you can't find out what they want, you're gonna get kicked out. What do you think?
I agree, and I think what I tell salespeople and sales managers is, you know, to be able to ask that question. If a salesperson comes in and says, "I think I've got an opportunity," as a leader, you got to be able to say, "Well, what is the problem the customer has, and why do they think we can solve it?"
Right.
The salesperson really can't articulate that. There isn't any opportunity.
Right.
It's all about helping the customer get what they want, not about you driving the product sales that you want.
Well, and in order to do that, in order to sell business to business like that, which is basically what we're talking about, we're talking B2B sales primarily here.
Right.
In order to do that, you've got to, as you said earlier, be curious. You've got to know, have some communication skills. You've got to be able to ask the kind of questions that will get you answers that will allow you to then pose another question, which is the question about whether there's even a reason, a basis for doing business.
Exactly. And you know, the irony is right now, Jim, is that with the marketplace being difficult, the people that are winning right now, the sales organizations that are winning, are the ones that are focusing on ideal customers, the ones that they can best serve. It sounds counterintuitive.
The ones that fit their profile the best.
This wide net and trying to talk to everybody. You go to the people that you really know you can provide value to.
Right. This is one example where profiling is a good thing, right?
It's a great thing, yeah. Profiling, you've got to say.
In sales, profiling is the key to success.
Yeah, because it's about knowing who the customers are that are most likely to value what you do and spending time with them rather than trying to dial for dollars and hope to find somebody interested.
Right. Yeah, one of the best things that ever happened to us, to my organization, is when we realized that you know, there was just a certain kind of a company that was, we identified what the profile was, and we didn't spend any time with anybody else.
Yeah, I call those must-win accounts. You know, those are the ones everybody and companies should be focused on. These are the must-win accounts because they fit what we're good at. So we got to go win those. And if we lose, we better find out exactly why we lose.
Well, the other thing is, and here's what's, it's a symbiotic kind of a thing, Sam, because those people, if they fit your profile, that means you fit their profile. And if you can find a way to make them happy and to save them time and heal their pain, they'll pay you a little bit more. If you're a small business, they'll pay you a little bit more because you're adding value in a way a big business can't, and you need that extra money to make the margin to keep your business going.
Yeah, and if you're going to just, you know, sit back and wait for the customer to tell you their requirements and you just respond, there's no way to differentiate.
Yeah.
You've got to have that kind of relationship, and you can easily outflank the big competitors.
Sam, 1 minute, last thoughts. What would you like to leave my small business audience with? If you're talking to their sales managers now, what do you think?
Great. I think the big thing I'd like to leave them with is the point I just outlined, is that I think right now, more than anything, everybody should be focused on those ideal customers. Quit chasing every deal that's out there. Focus on the ones that you know you have the best opportunity of winning because they value what you do. Spend all your time and energy there. And lose fast on those deals that aren't a good fit. Get them out of your pipeline and go after the ones that really fit.
We used to call those China eggs.
Tell me what that means.
A China egg is an egg that farmers used to put in the hen's nest so they could harvest all the good eggs but leave an egg so the hen would keep laying.
That's a perfect analogy.
There's one thing we know about China eggs. They never hatch.
Well, I think I'll steal that term from you.
You can steal it from me. Hey, give us the website one more time, Sam.
You bet. It's www.millerheiman.com. All sorts of resources for your small business.
Lots of good stuff that we come
to you.
Sam, will you come back another day?
Absolutely. Great talking to you.
We're going to get you back again real soon. Let's do it again. Thanks. Sam Reese, ladies and gentlemen, R-E-E-S-E, if you're Googling him. He'll be back. I will be, too, after this break. 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
She was hanging on, Johnny. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.